We're doing Gemara Brachos. We're up to Chafalef Amud Bet. We had seen that the Gemara asked, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the pasuk "Vodotam levanecha velivnei vanecha"? You'll teach it to your children and grandchildren. That smuchim yom ha'shamat efnei Hashem. And then the pasuk says, like when you stood at Sinai. So that seems to say that just like Sinai you were pure, so too when you learn Torah you should be pure. So we said, yes, we're two lines from before the really wide lines. In b'mshne Torah darish. Really, Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't learn smuchim anywhere else in Torah, in Dvarim, he does. V'ani smuchim mivay leli, d'chtor b'shov ben Levi. But he uses these smuchim for another derivation that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi taught. D'amar b'shov ben Levi, kol amlamed lebno Torah, ma'aleh alav ha'ketuv kiru kiblam ha'achorev. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, if you teach your grandson Torah, so then it's as though he got it from Sinai. You're bringing him one generation closer. Shneimar, the pasuk says, you'll teach it to your children and grandchildren. And the following pasuk says, like the day you stood before Hashem your God at Sinai, at Mount Horev. Now it's interesting because this seems to be a halachic derivation, and really we paskin this in halacha. And then the question is, how did Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi learn both derivations from the pasukim? Meaning Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is the source for both opinions. Look at the top of the page. Look at three lines from the two dots. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, "Minayin lebal keri shasu v'divrei Torah." That's also Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So that needs work.
So we had a different place.
He's quoting two different derivations from the same pasuk. How does he do that?
The second one is the one he derives from that pasuk, and he derives the halacha of the first one maybe from a different pasuk.
Look at it. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, minayin lebal keri shasu v'divrei Torah. You see it? Because it says, "Odatam nevanecha v'livnei vanecha." He quotes the same pasuk. Minayin lebal keri. It's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi.
Did you have a thing by that?
What's the thing by that?
A sign that says it's halacha.
What difference does it make if it's halacha or not? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi derived two different halachot from the same pasuk. You can't do that. Either the pasuk's teaching you this or that.
Can it teach two things?
No. I mean, if different words in the pasuk can teach it, but a smicho saying these two pasukim are aligned to teach me, well, it's to teach me one concept or the other, not two.
This one didn't get rejected as not being.
About okay, keep hearing.
Back, we explained it. I can't go back to it right now. Tanan.
None? What?
Tanan, we're on the second white line. The Mishnah says, Zav shira keri v'nidash paltashi chotzer avam shmesh platani da v'rat adam tzrichin tvila Rabbi Yehuda poter. The Mishnah at the end of the perek tells us, if a person is a Zav, you guys remember what a Zav is? So if a person is a Zav, he has this flow that's not healthy, he's a tamei zav. And then he had an emission, so now he became a keri. A woman is a nida, so she has a heftier tuma upon her. And then she emitted sperm. Did we discuss this? Poletet shichvat zera? Did we discuss this? No. Okay, so the halacha says that for 3 days after a woman was with her husband, the sperm that comes out of her makes her tamei just like the man who emitted the sperm, the baal keri. So for 3 days that sperm can impregnate her, and the modern medicine knows that now too. Chazal said it. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu told Am Yisrael to separate from their wives for 3 days. So a woman is tamei just like a baal keri, and the same prohibitions apply to her when she's poletet shichvat zera, when it's coming out of her. So the Mishnah says, what happens if the man or the woman had a heftier tumah upon them? He was a zav, she was a nida, and aside from that, they also had the emission. So then, or hamshameshet, what happens if first she was with her husband intimately, so she became tameh from that, and then ratadam, and afterwards she saw her period. So even though going to mikveh won't purify her from her heftier tumah, nonetheless, tzichin tvila. In all these instances, the man or the woman have to immerse themselves in the mikveh in order to continue learning, even though the mikveh doesn't help for the other tumah. Rabbi Yehuda poter. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they don't. They're poter. So ad kan lo poter Rabbi Yehuda lebzav shakir idmei karo lo bat tvila. When does Rabbi Yehuda say, don't bother going? when you have a heftier tumah upon you, aval ba'keri greida mechayev. But let's say he only had the tumas keri. So then Rabbi Yehuda holds they do need tevila. So we suggested earlier in the page that when Rabbi Yehuda allows them to make the blessing before and after the bread, or before and after Shema, that's because Rabbi Yehuda holds there is no prohibition on a keri learning Torah. Well, that's not so. You see from the Mishnah later on, he also holds that a keri, a tamei keri, cannot learn Torah. You might tell me, no, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even obligate a regular Baal Keri to go to mikveh. They were only discussing the situation of a heftier tumah that got Keri in order to tell me that Rabbanan even there tell me to go to Ivo. But really, Rabbi Yehuda holds you never need tevila. What's the final case in the Mishnah? If a woman was with her husband and afterwards she saw her onset, then she needs tvila chachamim say. Leman ktanila. Who's that teaching me? Ilei mel rabbanan. If it's telling me that rabbanan obligate her in such a scenario, pshita. Obviously they obligate her in such a scenario. Umazav shirak keri. If a guy who was a zav, so initially he had a heftier tumah, and only afterwards he got his keri. Demikar alav bar tvilahu. That from the beginning, he couldn't go to mikveh, he was a zav. Mikveh wouldn't help him at all. And nonetheless, Chachamim say, if he saw Keri, Mechayvi Rabbanan, Chachamim say, well, if now he saw Keri, even though the lighter tumah came in the second, go to mikveh. So if they hold that there, so then of course they hold in a situation where she's Shameshit, she first was with her husband. So a second later, she's obligated to go to mikveh. The obligation was already there. And only afterwards, Ratadam, only afterwards she saw her period. That the obligation of mikveh already settled on her. Obviously, Chachamim holds she has to go to mikveh. But why did the Mishnah have to specify it? To tell me that even in such a scenario, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to go. The Dav Kaktanila, and you see the Mishnah was saying things in a specific form. It's only because she had a heftier tumah that Rabbi Yehuda says she doesn't have to go to mikveh. But what does Rabbi Yehuda hold about someone who is only tamei keri? Rabbi Yehuda holds he has to go to mikveh. And then we have to revisit our Mishnah and explain then why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that he may make all these blessings if he also holds that a tamei keri has these prohibitions. So now we need a new pshat in the Mishnah, which is where we'll pick up tomorrow, Bezachim.